You guys are too kind. You're too kind. You're making me feel very arrogant. My wife would not be happy with you. Thank you, though. Okay. First of all, thank you guys very much for coming. I know Hanukkah is a very, very busy time. And these could be Hanukkah parties or holiday parties or whatever it is. So thank you guys very much for coming. I really appreciate it. So the Emes Emes, Tav Reish Tzadi Gimel, Tav Reish Tzadi Daled. Before we get to the Emes Emes, let's say a different Torah from the Emes Emes on the Parsha, because it doesn't really talk about the Parsha here. We can't not have a Parsha. We're going to focus on Hanukkah, but I also want to say an idea on the Torah, on the Parsha from the Emes Emes, because it is an Emes Emes Shir.
Yeah.
Very interesting, when the brothers are leaving to go out the second time, right? They have Binyamin, they bring Binyamin down, just like Yosef requested. It was very hard for Yaakov to let him go. And what happens? Yosef tells his boys, his goons, when they're about to leave, they get their sacks and put their money back, and put this my goblet in the youngest ones. Right, the famous story. Yeah. Put it in Binyamin's bag. Didn't ask questions, and the pasuk says you should do this. Yosef is very quick to do it before they left the city. And then MS asks, what is it that's so important? Before they left the city, like you couldn't do it like you're a mile and a half out of the city. What's Dafka before they left the city? You have to catch them before they left the city. I just want to say that. Like, what's so important about before they left the city? I just want to look to see where the exact wording is over here. Before they left the city, right? So the pasuk says, Perek Mem Dalid. They didn't go out so far, but Yosef Amar L'Asher Abizo, he told his household, "Kum Redof Achrei Anashim." He sagged him, "Amarte Lehem Lama Shalantan Ra'at Tachas Tova." Why did they, at the end of the day, why were they not grateful? Get them before they left. So what's so important before they left? So he says, so Pasha says that we know that the Shvatim, they weren't just stam people; they were tzaddikim. What were they doing when they're on a trip? You see Tzilas Aderech. You see that the traveler's prayer, right? Everyone knows. And you take out your bencher, and you go to the back of the bencher. There's a, anytime you travel again on an airplane, you say this Yiratzon.
Yeah.
And he understood that if they were able to say that Yiratzon, his plan would fail, because they're the Shvatim, their tefillah would work, and his whole plan would be done
out the window.
So he wanted to make sure before they left the city, before they would. And this is actually what we paskin, we rule like the rabbis say, you're not allowed to say Tefillas Aderech. Like if you're traveling, if you're driving from Boca to New York, which is Boca de Atlanta, you don't make the Tefillas Aderech when you're still in Boca. You make it once you leave Boca's hemisphere. So, I guess around Boynton or whatever, anything up north. Right? So Yosef said at the end of the day, make sure, because that shows you the koch of tefillah. Specifically, in times of Hanukkah, our tefillahs have a tremendous, tremendous ability to puncture the heavens. Specifically tonight, it's the fifth night of Hanukkah, we said before, in the Chabad world, the Rebbe said that the fifth night is the holiest night. It's not stam that you're here tonight. Because the fifth night, the Rebbe said, it's the only night that can never fall on Shabbos. And you might think that it can never fall on Shabbos, that it's not, maybe it's on a lower level. He says, Dafka, specifically that because it can fall on Shabbos, it's holier than all the other nights. And there's a great story, it's not for now, but you could Google it. It's a very long story about literally at the Rebbe's wedding, spanning around 40 to 60 years, all about the fifth night of Hanukkah. That's your homework for tonight. I'm allowed to get signed homework. In school, you're not allowed to sign homework on Hanukkah. But we're not in school right now. Okay, let's stick to the Torah over here.
Tonight, the fifth night is when the tips.
Yeah, it's like not. It's not halfway now. You're going a little more.
It's bringing more light into the darkness.
It's coming down to the wire. Exactly.
Yes.
So that's your homework. Actually, the Rebbe Lubavitcher Rebbe only used to give out gelt. Well. I think the Rebbe Rishab used to give out gelt, the fifth Rebbe, on the fourth and fifth night. The Rebbe gave out every night, but the Rebbe Rishab gave out the fourth and fifth.
Okay.
There we go. So he quotes from his father, his father, Mishlech Chodesh Tevish, which we're about to have Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, on Sunday. Chodesh Tevish humilashon hatavas aneros. The part of the thing of by the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, part of the mitzvah was not just lighting the mitzvah, it was about cleaning up the cleaning up of the old neros. This is what he writes over here. And if you look at the number over there, Shechodesh Teves, Humiloshon Hatovas Teneros. Right, we're about to enter the month of Teves. The word Teves comes from the word Hatovas, which means getting rid of the old wicks. And the old candles are replacing them with the new wicks. Hatova, he linkos Hapsolosh Yuchal Aner Lahair. So you'd be able to give that candle, the new candle, the ability to light. Meaning at the end of the day, it wasn't just a part of the Kohen's job to get rid of the old one. So there's something very deep and very spiritual about getting rid of the old wicks, getting rid of the old candles, and then putting the new candle in. Something very deep. And the MMS wants to ask, he wants to understand, like, what's the deeper essence of Teves, right? We know the Yevanim wanted to nullify four mitzvahs. Torah, Bris Milah, Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, and Shabbos. All those things have a commonality. It's not for now. But specifically, if you think about every other Yontif, it's either at the beginning of the month or it's the middle of the month. No other Yontif do we have, no other holiday in the Jewish calendar we have is at the end of the month, except for Hanukkah. Right? Pesach, middle of the month. Sukkot, middle of the month. Shavuos, beginning of the month. Rosh Hashanah, beginning of the month. Yom Kippur, towards the middle of the beginning. Hanukkah is the only one. Why? The Sfarim teach us, because they were so against Rosh Chodesh, the part of the holiday of Hanukkah, Davka has to have Rosh Chodesh. So, at the end of the day, if it's Rosh Chodesh Teves, there's got to be something very special about what Teves is really all about. You know, Teves is actually the month of Moshe Rabbeinu, the light came in. Teves, if you look at the word Teves, is a tes, a bez, and a tuf, which is 411, like gematria, numerical value. Tes, 411. If you take the numerical value of bias, a bayit, a house, a Jewish house, it's 410. 412, actually. 412. And one off, you're allowed to be in gematria, you're allowed to be one off. It's not like a thing, it's a real thing. The whole reason why we have Teves, because Teves is a very dark month. If you actually look in Rashi, in Gemara, and Yuman, Daf Tesvav, the longest nights of the year, right? Look outside right now. What time did it get dark? 5:45?
Yeah.
Pitch black, out. The longest nights of the year are Teves. So what's the deeper essence? Why Teves? Because Teves is the month where there's no holidays, you might think. Except the Chanukah seeps in, like you said. Chanukah seeps in for the first few days. The first few days, Aleph and Beis, and a little bit into Gimel. And that's exactly what he says over here. He says, you don't want to know why Teves is the Lashon Hatovas and Eros? Because at the end of the day, the month of Teves is a very dark month. And Yavan, the Medrash says, Yavan refers to darkness, first to gloominess, the rain and snow. And we had to light it up a little bit. And how do we have that? By Davka having Chanukah in the month of darkness, the month where it gets so dark, physically, there's got to be a little spiritually injection to the month. And this is what he says over here. Kishayesh nisim misalim in the fourth ident. Afila anamuchim ayom b'chanukah hu gam ken kach. At the end of the day, for those Jews who might feel like they're a tevistika Jew, like we said last week, and they might feel excluded from the company of Klal Yisrael. They might feel like they're not part of the Jewish people. At the end of the day, Chanukah comes to teach us that at the end of the day, they're also part of the Jewish people. Abraham has talked about this last week, but he keeps on going back to this whole thing again and again. It doesn't matter where a Jew is, a Jew has part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu within them. And as long as you have that soul, that godly soul, it doesn't matter where you are. You could be a Tevistik, a Jew, Hatavas and Eros, you have to get rid of the Psolus, but there's still a light flickering mamish in there. And that's what he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, the Machlokas, an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. When are we considered Hashem's children? Or we can consider Hashem's children only when we do the right thing. We also consider Hashem's children when we do the wrong thing. For example, my daughter tonight, she decided during the menorah to have a temper tantrum. Could be meltdown, obviously, always during the menorah. Not before, not after, only during the menorah. And this is actually like a real thing. When it comes to like the holiest things, you know, when there's trouble, and there's emotions and whatever, you know you're doing the right thing. Rabbi Nachman talks about this. Whenever you go to Eretz Yisrael, I don't know about you, I always have, there's always a bag, there's always a wheel missing, there's always like, and I always look over my wife, I'm like, no, Antisos couldn't be certain, Torah's couldn't be certain, anything holy will always be compatible with negativity. And as soon as you see the negativity, you know you're doing something right. That's right, hush. It's the signal. But the fact that my daughter was having a temper tantrum tonight, like I knew down deep, like, okay, we're doing it. Well, she's almost seven, she's six and a half.
She's still having tantrums.
Yeah, exactly. But for her, what's pshat? Is she still going to get the Hanukkah gift or not? So according to the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Rabbi Yehuda says only when you do Hashem's will, when you do your father, I'm not comparing myself to Hashem, it's only a mushroom, relax.
Yeah.
Right? Only when you do the right thing does Hashem say you're my child.
Yeah.
If you're not doing the right thing, the Gemara says you're considered an Eved, you're a servant.
Yeah. Right.
Said that's one opinion of the Gemara. The other opinion of the Gemara is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Beikach uvikach nikrabanim. Either way. Whether you're doing the right thing or whether you're doing the wrong thing, you're getting the Hanukkah present. You're doing the right, doesn't matter. might not be the most best parenting skills, and we definitely paskin tonight like Rabbi Yehuda. She did not get to go to sleep with her Paw Patrol, her iPad.
Yeah.
She was very upset about that. That's part of life.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's very hard for the parent. Like, yeah, you have
that's
to.
Why they call it
yeah.
tough love.
Tough love. Not exactly. Tough love. But at the end of the day, with Hashem, it's not that. It's not that way. Because who do we usually paskin like? Who do we rule like in an argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? We usually, our rabbis teach us, in the Machlokas of the Gemara between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanayim, we rule like Rabbi Yehuda. In most other cases. But in this case, who do we rule like? We paskin like Rabbi Meir. Then either way, whether you do the right thing or you're doing the wrong thing, you always consider Hashem's child. That's not an excuse now to go do whatever you want. That's Christianity and confession. That's not our religion. Our religion, this is post facto, about understanding that our relationship with Hashem is eternal. And it doesn't matter what you do or what you don't do. And I'm telling you, I don't know if everyone in this room would agree with what I'm saying right now. Now everyone's listening. But it's mama's true. When we start to realize that at the end of the day, we could always come back to Hashem no matter what our past is, at least for me, it always gives me a lot of encouragement. When you tell a child, you do something wrong, you're out, you're done, like, that's very temporary. It's coming out of frustration, coming out. The deeper view, the Hasidic view, the Chabad view, seeing the whole picture. And that's what Chodesh Baruch sees. He sees the whole picture. That right now, you might not be doing the right thing. And right now, it might look like there's a Tovas Haneros. It might look like there's a little negativity there. There's a little temper tantrum. Maybe because that's what we're going to maybe title the shir tonight. Temper tantrum during the lighting of the menorah.
Yeah.
How to deal with temper tantrums during menorah. At the end of the day, the Abraham says that even when you're going through this whole down, you're going through the darkness, to know that down deep, we still have this connection to the Rabbono Shel Olam. And this is what he writes again, and the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, that there are certain levels of how to light the menorah. There's Mahajan, Mahajman, and Mahajan, which are beautiful and even more beautiful, more beautiful. And each one of us are a soul, each one of us are a candle of Kadosh Baruch Hu. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what we do, we always have the ability to always enhance our relationship. We'll say this Torah again. This great rabbi known as the Moriniam of Chernobyl, one of the early Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. Moriniam explains a beautiful Gemara in Shabbos and Chaf Aleph. It says that the wicks and the candles that you can't use for Shabbos, meaning there's a certain level, certain degree of Shabbos, candles and oil, that has to be a certain level. Chanukah, the oil, the wicks that you can't use for Shabbos, you can't use them. You can use for Chanukah. Gemara says. Gemara says, the things that you can't use, you can use for Chanukah. So Moriniam explains, what's going on over here? What's the deeper essence over here? You don't just say a Gemara and go on. That's something very deep here. He says, those Jews who maybe don't feel close to Hashem on every Shabbos, and those Jews who don't feel close to Hashem maybe daily and weekly, and they have like little moments. What happens? On Chanukah, there's a special light. If you ever look in a room, they put a candle in a room full of light, you don't really see the candle. They turn off the lights, and that's where you can see. You can see the real fire. Moriniam explains that there might be Jews, there might be Atavas and Eros, there might be throughout the whole year, they might have done the wrong thing. They might have gone down the wrong path. But Chanukah comes, says you could use that. That neshama is will be affected. Like we said last week, there's a family that lives 15 minutes away from here. Last year, one of my students, their family decided, their Baal Teshuva decided, we're not keeping Judaism anymore. We're done. We're done with it. Torah, done. Shabbos, out. Yom Kippur, out. Came to Chanukah, Christmas or Chanukah, there was a menorah in their window, and there was no tree. Because in that family, it could be that down deep, could be in the revealed, there's no Shabbos, and there's no Judaism, but down deep, in their Pintel Yid, I'm talking about in the Chabad world, there's something very special. That even on Chanukah, they were able to understand, okay, I might be living a non-Jewish life, comes to Chanukah or this time of the year, I'm not keeping December 25th, I'm keeping 25th of Kislev.
Yeah.
Everything about why it's the 25th? Right, our holiday is Chafei Kislev, and their holiday is December 25th. That's not stam. That's not just random. That's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. That's like literally for them, they didn't keep December 25th. I don't know what they did this year. I can guarantee you, last year there was menorah in their home. Because the Chanukah, we're able to understand. Doesn't matter where we are, we can always come back to the Rabbono Shel Olam. I think it's important now to say the story about the fifth night because I think it connects with the Rebbe.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly on the dates and the years. Hopefully I'll say the story right.
Yeah.
what happened was, and then you'll tell me if I'm saying it wrong. You tell me if I'm saying, but on Google, this is literally one of the things that before I left my year for Israel, like a rabbi told me this story, and I have never, it's an unbelievable story. It's literally this Imre Emes of understanding that the Chodesh of Teves is a Lashon of Hatovas Neves, clearing out the Psolas, and maybe to light up the rest of the month. It could be that the rest of the year, maybe we weren't doing the right thing. It gives us a little light. Chanukah is able to light up the month of Teves. That's the story. So Lubavitch Rebbe is getting married, and we know that he married the Friedrich Rebbe's daughter, right? He married the sixth Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Schneerson's his daughter. When he came down to it, I think he got married, I don't know, in the 29, the 30, early 30, something like that. And when I came down, all the great rabbis from Europe, they were coming to give respect to the wedding. This is before the Holocaust. And there's a great rabbi known as Rabbi Nachum Zemba. Nachum Zemba was a huge Talmid Chacham. There's definitely a storm in the back over there from him. Unfortunately, he was killed by the Nazis of Achshimam, but his Torah Mamash lives on. He might have killed his body, his guf, but his neshama lives on.
Yeah.
So what happened was, Rabbi Nachum Zemba came to the wedding, and he came with one of his students. The wedding happened, it was a beautiful wedding, and before he left, he wanted to go tell the sixth Rebbe, say, Shkoyach, thanks so much for inviting me, I'm going to go back to my town. Very interesting that the Rebbe said, you know, before, while you're here, why don't you go get a bracha from the chassan, from Menachem Mendel, from the Rebbe. So he said, okay, we'll get a bracha. And what happened is, the Rebbe says, I'll give you a bracha, and he tells him this thing, b'chanukah. Just like the fifth night of Chanukah can never fall on Shabbos, so too, no Jew could ever be so far away from the Vod Hashem, he can never call himself a Jew. That every Jew could always come back to Hashem. It's very weird. They're not sure why the Rebbe is telling them this. Good.
Yeah.
The Holocaust happens. The Rebbe and the Rafidic Rebbe, they're able to escape. Rabbi Nachum Zemba is killed. But the student that was with Rabbi Nachum Zemba makes it out.
Okay.
And he makes it to Toronto.
Makes it
to Toronto, I'm pretty sure. Makes it to Toronto, settles down. And the Rebbe comes to New York. The sixth Rebbe passes away in 1950. 51, the Rebbe takes over. I'll say 10, 15, 18 years later, this guy, the student, Rabbi Nachum Zemba's student, living in Toronto, one of his kids are getting married, and he wants to get a bracha from the Rebbe before they get married, before he sends off his kids to get married. What happens? He travels down from Toronto to New York to get a bracha. And he hasn't seen the Rebbe probably, it could be almost 30 years by now, 30, 35 years. And the Rebbe says to him, gives him a bracha, and he said, but as he's walking out, he just says, you should just know, just like the fifth night of Chanukah can never fall on Shabbos, every Jew could always come back to Hashem. Like, okay. I'm not sure what the Rebbe is telling me. He told me this 30 years ago. Very good. 5 years later, this happens again. But before the story happens again. Before he comes down for his next kid's wedding, he gets a knock at the door. Who's the knock at the door? It's a Satmar neighbor in Toronto. You know, Satmar and Chabad are two different worlds. Chabad is very going out and trying to help spread light to the world, and Satmar is very insular, and that's their derech, and they do tremendous chesed. My wife was in the hospital in New York and New Jersey when we first got married. I only had food to eat because of Satmar. It was incredible. Mom is incredible.
Okay.
Incredible. Someone said the reason why there's no free food at the Kotel because the Satmar guys aren't there. that's why they're not there yet. So he gets it. So back to Toronto, probably let's say it's the early 70s now, and he has a knock at the door to Satmar's friend, and he said, listen, I know you're about to make a wedding in England. His next kid's wedding was in England. And I know you're about to go to the Rebbe to get a bracha. Do me a favor. In my world, what happened was our daughter, she went off the deep end, and we just heard that she's about to marry a non-Jew. If you're going to be in England, she's England. She's in England. You could just find a way, try to get to her. She's not answering our calls, our letters, nothing, there's no email then. Please try to get her. Show who she is. So he goes to New York, and he goes, gets the rabbi says the same thing, just like the fifth night of Chanukah can never fall on Shabbos, so too every Jew can always come back to Hashem. He comes to England, so probably like right before Chanukah, they have the wedding. He said for Shabbat Brachas, no, you're not going to go back. He says for Shabbat Brachas, and it's right like in the middle of Shabbat Brachas, and he remembers that he told his neighbor he'd go check out on his daughter who's about to get married to this non-Jew. And he gets to he finds out the information of this girl. She's mamish living with a non-Jew. And he knocks at he finds the house, he knocks at the door. Says at the end of the day, like, I have a message for you. Like, your parents very much miss you, and they want you to come back. Like, please, like, can you do me a favor? And she invites him in. And they're sitting at the table, and the student of Menachem Zemba looks into the window and sees the menorah, and he sees how many lights and which night of Hanukkah was it? It was the fifth night of Hanukkah. And then he understood what the Rebbe told him three times before. And before the war, and the first wedding, and the second wedding. And he understood the message. That the message was not for in 1929 and 30. The message wasn't for in the 60s. It's for the early 70s.
Yeah.
And it was for this Jew. And the Rebbe was able to see that this guy was going to be able to have, was going to have an occurrence to be able to bring this Samar person back. And what happened was, she said the whole story that she's mad to marry this non-Jew, and something happened and she wants to go back and she didn't know how to get back. She didn't know if her parents would ever take her back. She was starting to keep Judaism again. And which night of Hanukkah was it? Fifth night of Hanukkah. Can't make this story up.
Yes.
Cannot make this up. Mamish can't. Pasha can't. And I'm not telling you right now, I'm not one of these big school altogether things. I happen to be a byproduct of from the Rebbe. I said that story already before. I'll say it again, maybe for another time. But I very much, people to understand that no matter what, no matter where a Jew is, a Jew can always come back to Hashem. And this is what the Rebbe said about that Jew living in with a non-Jew. And he saw already 40 years before he even became Rebbe. When his father-in-law was the sixth Rebbe. And this is exactly the whole Indian of what Tevis is. Tevis comes to the Lord, Hatavas and Eros, of cleaning out the Neros. Teros, it's the darkest months of the year. The darkest nights. Gemara and Yuman, Rashi says, the Gemara and Yuman, Da'atezo, it's the darkest nights. But just because it's the darkest nights does not mean that the most potential, the light, is brightest when it's darkest. The light is bright. If you have a candle right here, it's not so bright. Turn off the candle, turn off the lights, the light will be the brightest. So Hashem should bless us. Hashem should bless us that we should stop viewing our lives and our kids and the people around us with such negative eyes. Always looking for the positive, always looking for the good within everyone. This is exactly how he ends off the Torah. Kishe Yisrael heim ba'achal v'cho'echal yesh l'ayin tovah. When every Jew looks for the kislev within every Jew, you don't look for the tavis within every Jew. We look for the or within every Jew. We look for the good in every Jew. The Kosh Baruch will bring great fruits and great joy into the world. And that's really, I think, the message of Chanukah. The message of Chanukah is to always see the good in everyone and everything. Look for the positive. And then that's chus. Hashem Shabbos is that next year in the fifth night of Chanukah. Well, as Hashem and Yishlami Kodesh together with the Rabbi and all the tzaddikim.
Sure.